Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to John chapter 2. If you're visiting with us, welcome. If you're new with us, you already know we go through books of the Bible, and we are now going through the Gospel of John, and it has been good. Every word of God, every chapter, every book is good. John is special to many of us. Today we come to a passage that I know I've got a fellow pastor here, a man that I just met, and he just retired, and I think he'd say amen. Not every passage is easy to preach. This one is difficult. Jesus cleanses the temple. John chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, but really the focus here is the zeal for Christ's house. What are some things you're zealous for? You ever think about that? Things you're really zealous for. Well, we're going to find this morning that Christ had one thing he was most zealous for, and that was his Father's house. John 2, 12 to 17, title of the message this morning is Zeal for the Father's House. As always, I encourage you, be good Bereans, follow along in your Bibles as I read. John 2, beginning at verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, that's Jesus, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Zeal. Think about that. Zeal. What is that? Webster defines it as an ardor, A-R-D-O-R, which is a burning fire, a burning passion for something or some pursuit that can be all-consuming. That is zeal. And we see it in certain measures these days, zeal for everything from sports teams to vaccines to no vaccines. People are zealous about the vaccine. Some are zealous about no vaccine. There's even zeal these days for breaking things when people don't get their own way. There's plenty of earthly zeal in the hearts of men for earthly things. But what about heavenly zeal for heavenly things? What about godly zeal for the things of God? And what about a zeal for the house of God? How many have that in their hearts? Well, Jesus did. And for Jesus, zeal for the house of his Father was all-consuming. That's what it means. It has eaten him up. It means like a fire, it consumed him, his passion for the Father's house. That is what the Spirit of God is showing us here, and it's what he tells us here. Verse 17, the disciples remembered it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." And the truth of this entire passage is this: zeal for the Father's house consumed Jesus Christ throughout his life. We see it here at the start of his ministry, 27 AD, and Jesus begins his public ministry by cleansing the temple. We see it again in 30 AD when he cleansed the temple again before his final Passover. There are two cleansings of the temple recorded in Scripture. But we really see it throughout his entire life. Throughout the life of Jesus Christ, zeal for the Father's house is what consumed him. It's what consumed his thoughts. It's what was behind all of his actions. Why are we shown it here? For two purposes. One, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You should believe that because no one has zeal for the Father's house like he. And second, the second reason we're shown it is to this end, that by believing in Jesus Christ, you might have life in his name, part of which ought to be a zeal for God's house. Part of living life in the name of Jesus Christ is to have a Christ-like zeal for the things of God, a Christ-like zeal for the Father's house. So to that end, what does zeal for the Father's house look like? What are signs of it? What are some indicators of a zeal for the Father's house? What do we see here in Jesus Christ? And what would you see in a believer's life if you had a zeal like Christ's? Well, I'm just going to give you three indicators of a Christ-like zeal for the Father's house. We certainly see them here in Christ. And the question for you will be, do we see that in your life? Do you see that in your life? They are very simple: showing up, standing up, and suffering. Showing up, standing up, and suffering. The first sign of a Christ-like zeal and the first sign of Christ's zeal for his Father's house is showing up. And what we see here is a zeal for the program of God's house. Verse 12. After this, that is, after the wedding in Cana of Galilee, which we studied last time, after this, he went down to Capernaum, Jesus, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Well, why not? After all, Capernaum was going to become Christ's headquarters for ministry. After all, he's there with his family, his mother and his brothers are there. He's there with his brand new disciples, his five disciples. We studied how Jesus got these new followers in chapter 1. Why not just stay there in Capernaum many days, enjoying time with them, teaching them, discipling them? The best answer is in verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The reason Jesus didn't stay many days in Capernaum is because the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus was not one to miss. Christ's custom since a boy was to go to the synagogue every Sabbath day, the local gathering of God's people, and part of what it means to be zealous for the house of God is to be zealous for his people. But also, he went up to all the feasts. And here we see he went up to Jerusalem for the Passover feasts. How many feasts were there in the Jewish calendar? Seven. Seven feasts appointed by God in the law, Leviticus 23. Seven feasts where God's intent was to gather his children all together, to celebrate, to mark the mighty works of God, to give him thanks, but also to point all their attention forward to the coming Messiah. Seven feasts. There were three of them in early spring: Passover, unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later was the Feast of Pentecost. Very good. There were three in the fall: the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All of these pointed to Jesus Christ. There are different ways of describing this. Passover, which is the remembrance of God's deliverance from bondage by means of the blood of the Lamb, that points forward to Christ, who is our Passover. Unleavened bread points to Christ's sinless life. All of us are like leavened bread. We all have sin in our lives, but not Jesus Christ. Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. There's the Feast of First Fruits, and Christ is the first fruits, points forward to the resurrection from the dead. Feast of Pentecost points to his provision of the Holy Spirit and the harvest of souls, which we read about in Acts 2. The Feast of Trumpets, which points to the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Day of Atonement, which points to his coming again. And the Feast of Tabernacles, which points forward to the coming kingdom when we will all dwell together with him. Well, Jesus went up to the Passover. Question: did Jesus attend all the feasts? Yes, every single one. Do you think he attended them willingly? I would say he attended them zealously. Zealously. Zeal for his Father's house consumed him. Right? You remember from the earliest days, he stayed behind at the Father's house because he had to be about his Father's business. Zeal for the Father's house consumed Jesus Christ. By the way, you read something like verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem from Capernaum. How did he go up? By car? Bullet train? No. By foot. Well, how far was it? Capernaum to Jerusalem, how far? And up, it's up in elevation. It's south, but it's up in elevation. How far was the walk? Well, it was 80 miles as the crow flies, but they didn't walk as the crow flies. More like 100 miles plus. Right? So you just read that, but what it means is Jesus walked 100 miles because the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And then he walked 100 miles back to Capernaum when it was done. And he went to all the feasts, and that's probably at least twice a year journeying to Jerusalem, some say three times a year. That's a zeal for the Father's house. Some of us, you know, it's so far. Do we have to go to church? It's 3 miles. Or what if you live on the north side? How many live on the north side? Church is way down there on the south side. How many live in west? Right? See, they win the medal this morning. Yeah, it's all the way in town. I mean, that's 25 minutes. Yeah. But by car, how many walked? Okay. Zeal for the Father's house consumed Christ. He had a zeal for the program, a zeal for the gathering of God, gathering by God of his people together that they would worship and sing praise. You think there's any application for us? Absolutely. What is the house of God today? 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And a good first indicator of a Christ-like zeal for the house of God is simply showing up. Jesus showed up at the gatherings. He showed up at the synagogue. What about you? Do you have a zeal to come to church? Do you have a zeal to show up at God's house, gather with his people, hear their burdens, share their burdens with them, pray with them, pray for them, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice? We have a program these days for the house of God. It's not the law, right? We're not under the law. If you understand what happens when you become a Christian, you are set free. You die to the law of Moses, only to be united with another. That is, to be united with Jesus Christ. So what? We're under no law? No, we're under the law of Jesus Christ, which is called the law of liberty. The law of liberty. There's freedom. And so elders in every local church come up with a program for the gathering of the saints together. Are you zealous for the program of God? Are you zealous for God's work? Second, there's a second sign. It's the far more important one here. There's a second sign of Christ's zeal for the Father's house and of a Christ-like zeal for God's house, and that's standing up. Standing up for the purposes of God, standing up against anything that is counter to the purposes of God. What we're seeing here and throughout the life of Christ is a zeal for the purpose of God's house and keeping that purpose pure. Verse 14, it says, and he found in the temple. That's the key phrase. If that wasn't here, we wouldn't be reading this. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. Now, the obvious question, why would anyone be in the temple selling oxen and sheep and doves, and why in the temple would there be money changers? And the answer is, follow the money. There were 7 feasts a year. Several of those feasts called for the offering of sacrificial animals. And tens of thousands of Jews traveled into Jerusalem to observe the feasts. That is a need, a demand for hundreds of thousands of sacrificial animals every year. And how easy would it be to travel by foot as a family with all your stuff, all your belongings to stay in Jerusalem, plus dragging an ox or dragging a sheep or even carrying doves? Not easy. Now, I was once an entrepreneur. If you didn't know, I started a business selling fiber optic networks. And my entrepreneurial mind went to work along with theirs. I've got an idea. What if we made it possible for people to buy their sacrifices on site? It'd be great. We'd be making their life easier. We could pay some locals to raise the oxen and sheep and doves. We buy them, sell them at a markup. Look, if we only made $1 a head, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Now, there's always naysayers. If you're an entrepreneur, there's always the naysayers. At one problem, these people coming in from out of town, they come in with a different currency. No problem. We put in some money changers who exchange their foreign currency for local currency and what? Charge a percentage. Then the next naysayers, brilliant, but all the naysayers. You can't be an entrepreneur if you can't overcome the naysayers. Brilliant, where are we going to do this? And unfortunately, they must have looked over to the court of the Gentiles and said, right there. I mean, that's already unclean. And so, these, and I don't know if that's how it started. I can just imagine it started something like that. And what happened was, people who did not have zeal for the Father's house set up business in the temple, buying and selling and exchanging. The real problem here, of course, is no zeal for the Father's house. And everyone suffered, right? I mean, imagine if it existed. Imagine if we're there and you want to stop this practice. What can you do? It's like today. We often feel like, well, what can we do? I mean, what are we going to do? Nothing we can do. No one had enough zeal for the Father's house to stand against this thing. And you can imagine the sight of all these sheep and oxen and doves in the temple. You can imagine the sound of it. All this money changing. Hey, you got this. Hey, you can, you know, in a marketplace, there's all this noise. You can imagine the smell, right? The smell of all this buying and selling of sacrificial animals in the temple. But what we need to imagine is the stench this is in the nostrils of our God, that in the temple of God, they have perverted the purity of God's purpose. So verse 15, when Jesus had made a whip of cords. How do you think he made a whip of cords? One man says, among the litter that would have been strewn on the floor would have been pieces of cast-off tethers and cords from baggage. Snatching up a handful of these, he probably braided them together into a whip. I like that. I mean, Jesus just grabbed what was there and made it into a whip. And now the next question is, why? And I like Carson's answer. Some of you, you read Carson, and D.A. Carson is a very high-level thinker. He's very hard to read, but he says, one does not easily drive out cattle and sheep without one. That's why. And the whip is not for the people. The whip is for the oxen and for the sheep that were in there. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the money changers' money, and he overturned the tables. In other words, in righteous anger, in a heavenly zeal for the Father's house, Jesus stood up and he spoke out against what they were doing when no one else would. And he did it for the sake of the Father's house. He said to those who sold dove, verse 16, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now, when you read that line, take a look at verse 16. It says, last line, do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. You probably think of my Father's house as like, he owns this. That's not really the way this is written, and it's important to distinguish this. Do not make the house for my Father, a house for merchandise. The house of God is a house for the Father. What was the original intent and purpose for the Father's house? Just listen, I won't have you turn there, but listen to 1 Kings 8. You can't miss it. This is Solomon dedicating the temple of God, and he says this. And I'll just read some selected verses. 1 Kings 8:17. Solomon says, now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. 8:19, your son, this is God to Solomon, your son shall build the temple for my name. 1 Kings 8:20, I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Verse 29, the Lord says, my name shall be there. Verse 43, so that all the peoples of the earth might come to know your name. What's the purpose of the Father's house? It's for the Father's name. It's for the name of God to be made known. It's for the reputation of God to spread to all peoples. And to that end, the Father's house is a place for what? Prayer? Yes. Praise? Yes. Worship? Yes. Singing? Yes. Fellowship? Yes. Evangelism? Discipleship? Yes. Buying and selling and trading? No. No. Politics? No. Social justice warriors? No. And yet how many churches these days have made the Father's house, made the house that is for the Father to be a house for politics, a house for social justice issues, a house for buying and selling and trading? Many. If you want to know what Jesus has against the churches today, you just read Revelation, which we just finished studying, right? How many churches today have allowed immorality, idolatry, and many other things into the house of God? Jesus would not stand for it. Jesus stood up against it. Why? Because zeal for the Father's house consumed him. And a second sign of Christ-like zeal for the Father's house is that you will stand up and you will speak up for all that is good in the Father's house. You'll support all that is good, wise, and right, pleasing to God, good for the purposes of Christ. You'll stand up for that. You'll get involved, and you will take an active part in promoting all that spreads the Father's glory, all that furthers the gospel. That you'll take a stand for, but also you will take a stand against anything that goes against the purposes of God. These days, it's unbelievable that you have churches promoting the whole liberal agenda in the church, including LGBTQ in the pulpit. People who are openly immoral standing up in churches today and supposedly representing God. And apparently, there's not enough zeal in all of those churches or even those entire denominations. There is not enough zeal for the Father's house to stand up against it. It's unbelievable. And it's like the frog in the boiling pot, right? It just, people accept one thing after another until the next thing they know, there's a rainbow flag sitting up in front beside the pulpit. A neighbor told me recently, oh, they just installed a rainbow flag in our church. And I go, how can you stand for that? So what about you? There's application here for us. What about zeal for the Father's house? To get involved, to be involved, to know what things in God's house promote His glory, promote His name, promote the gospel. What about standing up and speaking up for all those things? And what about standing up and speaking out against those things if they ever come into the house of God that you're a part of? And here I must say, I'm very thankful for all of you. I can't imagine somebody getting away with things that are an offense to God for long in this church. That's a good thing. You want a lot of people with their ears open and their eyes open and having a zeal in their hearts for the house of God to the point that they would not let it happen here. Listen, we're blessed. We have a precious thing here. We have a house of God that is all about Christ, all about the gospel, all about loving one another and promoting His truth. If I die tonight, don't let that go away. There needs to be zeal in a lot of hearts in this house to preserve the purpose of this house pure. Third, and probably this is the ultimate one. We've seen that a Christ-like zeal is seen in just showing up, right? And that's a zeal really for the program of God. God wants to gather His children together around His word for all the things that promote His name. And we've seen, second, a sign of zeal is standing up for all that promotes the name of God and standing up against anything that would go counter to God's purposes. But third, suffering. This is the ultimate one, suffering. And here what we see is a zeal not just for the program of God and the purposes of God, but a zeal for the people of God. Notice what it says next. Verse 17. Then His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up. Zeal for your house has consumed me." Now that comes from Psalm 69, and I'd ask you to turn back there for just a moment. Psalm 69. Because I want you to see what David says. I know that many of you live this. It's very dear to your heart. Psalm 69, and we're just going to start in at verse 8. This is a psalm of David, who was a man after God's own heart. He's crying out to God. He's suffering. There are so many people that hate him without a cause. Verse 4 says, he has many enemies. They're standing up against him. He's facing false accusations. He admits that he is foolish. He admits that he's a sinner. But look what he says in verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. That means even my family has cast me off. Why? Verse 9. Because zeal for your house, and I think the better translation is, has consumed me. Zeal is a fire. And he's saying, I have a zeal, an all-consuming passion for your house. You know what that means? David is saying, my zeal for your house, God, for your people, for your purposes, for your plans, your principles, your word, your truth, it has so consumed me that as a result, I've lost family and friends over it. I know that some of you have suffered the loss of relationships because of your zeal for Jesus Christ. Praise God. I would rather have zeal for Christ and his church and lose all of my family and friends than have all of my family and friends and have no zeal for Christ and the church. And I'm in those shoes. I'm like many of you. I'm pretty much a stranger to my brother and my sister because zeal for Christ's house is what consumes me. And having spoken openly about Christ to family and friends, I've lost many of them. That's okay. That's an indicator of a Christ-like zeal. Back to John chapter 2, it says, then his disciples remembered that it was written. Now, they don't say that it was written about him. They just remembered that verse from Psalm 69, a verse about the man after God's own heart that said, zeal for your house has eaten me up. If you keep reading, notice verse 18, the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? That's opposition. That's a rejection of Christ for standing against this practice. Who are you? What can you do to prove to us that you have the authority to do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they reject that. The Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, verse 22, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You know what this all speaks to? The zeal of Jesus Christ for his Father's house was so all-consuming that it consumed him, that he lost his life for the Father's house. That means he lost his life for you. This is a zeal for the people of God, and this is the gospel. Jesus Christ, unlike any of us, was so consumed by a zeal for his Father's glory that for the Father's glory, he sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And getting there was as easy as being zealous for the Father's house, and they killed him for it. Now, of course, the number one application of this is to believe in Jesus Christ. There's no one like Christ that has a zeal for God. And no one like Christ who would lay down his life that you might be saved from your sins. Because in your sin, you don't have a zeal for the Father like Christ's. None of us does. None of us is so zealous for the Father's glory. In fact, we all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. That means we continually fail to glorify God as he deserves. So praise God for Jesus Christ. And put all your faith and all your hope in Jesus Christ. But there's a second application. And that is, are you living by faith in his name? Do you have a zeal for the Father's house? Do you show up? Do you stand up for those things that are pleasing to God and to Christ? And are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to suffer for the sake of God's people? Let me finish with 1 John 3:16. I'd ask you to turn there just for a moment. Hopefully you know it by heart. I know you know John 3:16. But do you know 1 John 3:16 is just as important? 1 John 3:16, I got to find it myself. Well, I can quote it. We know love by this. Here's how we know love. Here's how we know what it looks like. Here's how we know what it ought to look like. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And then the second half is the application. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what we ought to do. Do you have that kind of zeal for God's house that you would be willing to suffer for the sake of those who are sitting around you? Look left, look right, look to the front, look to the back. Do you have a zeal for the house of God so much that you would be willing to suffer for those who are around you. The Father's house isn't ultimately about property. It's not ultimately about programs. It's ultimately about people. Are you willing to suffer for the sake of God's people? And if you are, praise God. That zeal did not come from you. That is a zeal that is given you by God the Father himself for his house. And if not, maybe you're here this morning and truth be told, there's no fire in your belly for the house of God. There's no zeal in your life for God's house. You know what? It doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural. Maybe you came to church this morning kicking and screaming. Maybe you came unwillingly. You didn't really want to be in church this morning. There's a God in heaven who sent his son into this world to be the savior of sinners like us. And if you put your faith in him, he'll save you. He'll give you his Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God will start a fire in you that will burn for the pleasure of Christ. It will burn for the glory of God. Pray for that this morning. If you don't know Christ, put your faith in Jesus Christ today and be changed. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this great demonstration of Christ, of zeal for his Father's house. Thank you for sending your Son into this world to be the Savior for sinners like us. Help us, Father, to have a zeal like Christ's, that we would show up and stand up and even suffer all the way up to losing our lives for the sake of the gospel. And Father, I do thank you for this church. Thank you for the many in this church who do have a passion for your house, who are zealous, who are committed. And help us, Father, to grow to be more like your Son. We pray it in his name. Amen.